What is good, everyone? This is your host, Deanna Radulescu. To live your best life, you must live label-free with Label Free Podcast. Today, I've got an incredible guest joining me. She has dramatically changed her life after 7 marriages that included abuse, divorce, death, and being a prison wife. She's an entrepreneur, an author, and a 40-year bookkeeper. Please welcome Joanne Fawcett. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am good. So, 7 marriages.
Yeah. not my best thing.
Well, I mean, that's just, I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Did you fall in love with every single one?
I thought I was in love, yes.
Yeah. So how old were you when you first got married?
I think I had just turned 20.
Wow. Okay. So you were,
yeah.
You started young.
I did start young. And I'm not that old, but no, I did start young, and most of them did not last more than a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a couple of them. Well, one lasted about 5, and then the last marriage, we were together 25 years, but married like just over 20.
Okay, so that was your longest one then?
Yeah.
Was that your best one, or like?
I thought it was because, you know, he was smart and charming and funny, but it was also, he was the person in prison, and I didn't mind the prison part.
Okay.
But I didn't really realize the side of him that ended up wanting me to divorce him until, you know, pretty much COVID hit. And it's like, wow, I'm not getting any of my needs met.
Yeah, that's a hard realization when you are a partner with someone. I mean, I think that you have to acknowledge each other's needs. Some men just don't have
the ability. He wasn't good at that.
No. Well, I kind of want to, like, you've gone through a lot. You were a Mormon, so you left the Mormon
church. I was a Mormon for 30 years.
Wow. And now, what made you leave the church?
Okay, I'm going to do 2 things. Well, one of the reasons why I got married so many times is because I was a Mormon.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have sex before marriage, and you're supposed to be married, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So why I left the church is I met number 7, who is not a Mormon and is in prison. He's still there. And once we met, it's like, oh, you know, I'd rather visit you on Sundays or like all 4 days that are available, including Sundays, instead of spending half my day at church.
Yeah.
And it just, all of a sudden, I realized I didn't need the church anymore. I mean, I was a pretty good Mormon most of the time. And
yeah.
And it was, but it's a whole lifestyle. And it's like, yeah, okay, I don't think I need it. And we started talking about more spiritual topics. And it's like, oh, there's life beyond being a Mormon. And there's life beyond believing what the church believes you is the only things to believe. So it's like, oh, so my eyes, you know, so there were many good qualities about our relationship. It really opened me up to a lot of different things in the world, and because I was kind of living in a box, I think, and I was pretty naive. So,
yeah.
So I'm grateful for that, and I got into some new passions and things, and you know, I've found this. I've got other interests now, and I just didn't need the church.
Yeah. I have my own opinion on Mormons. Were you raised that way?
No, my family, none of them are Mormons. Some really good friends that we used to go camping with, their family was Mormon, and so one of their daughters was my best friend, so I just started going to church with them. So I'd say I started going regularly when I was 10, and then I got baptized when I was 12. I mean, my family supported me, but I was raised by the church family, but not, you know, my family wasn't Mormon, and you know, they certainly didn't live a Mormon lifestyle.
Yeah, hindsight, would you do it all over again?
No.
Yeah.
So
it's
funny because I know a lot of people think of it as a cult. I never saw it that way. My daughter thinks of it that way. It's like, I never had a big traumatic experience, you know, problem with the church. It was the Mormon men that I chose. And that was just because they were not good partners. It wasn't. But, you know, when things got rocky with one of the abusive ones, it's like, and I think I told a church leader once when it was before the guy even hit me, he was just having violence around, you know, our house.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, has he hit you? Like, no. Do you think he will? I go, I don't know. But it's like, I never even, beyond that, I never even told the church leaders, because what were they going to do? It's like, you know. So I don't know. I would not rejoin the church.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Well, that was just curious. That was just curious. About.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all the men prior to your last one were all Mormon. So is that how you...
Except number two.
Oh, okay.
So everybody but number two and number seven, my daughter's father was not a Mormon, but I met him at a Mormon singles activity that I was hosting at the house I was living at because his sister and her husband at the time were members. And they thought, okay, well, if we can just get him to meet a nice Mormon girl and maybe marry a nice Mormon girl, his life will just straighten out. You know, he won't drink anymore. He won't do drugs, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, that was farther from the truth.
Yeah.
And we only dated for about, from meeting to marriage was 1 month. So, okay, I don't recommend that to anybody either.
Yeah.
But unbeknownst to me, I'd also gotten pregnant at that time. And so it's like, it's a good thing we got married. And, you know, we got along, but he drank and he was addicted to Valium from an injury in the Navy. And he liked to smoke pot back when it was illegal. And
yikes.
Let's go buy some pot. I need to go buy some more. It's like, you know, we're going to get arrested if they, it's like, I was.
No, it's no big deal.
I know. I was so paranoid and I was not obvious. I was never a pot smoker. And, you know, it's like, it was. And he, you know, blows smoke in my face. I go, I'm carrying your baby here. Don't get me to smoke pot. It's like, it was just kind of weird. But unfortunately, he committed suicide when she was 5 weeks old. So,
So he was battling some demons, huh?
He had his own demons to deal with. And he just chose to not, you know, finally not deal with it. It was just hard on him. And he had kicked me out when I was 7 months pregnant. And he was suicidal then. And then, you know, a couple months later, I had her. He saw her a couple times. And he loved his daughter. And he had a daughter with a first wife, but he hadn't seen her for a long time. So, you know, he loved his kid, but he just couldn't handle life. And I feel bad for him. But it's like, well, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not coming back. And you're not working hard enough on your mental health problems because he really didn't think therapy was going to help him. So
that's unfortunate.
You know. Yeah. So my daughter never knew her dad, but she's really close with his family. Both her grandparents have passed on, but, you know, her aunt and she's got a cousin. They still keep in touch. So it's, you know, it's, and the, I, what I loved, his parents always thought of me as a daughter-in-law. And among all my ex's parents, he's like, they were like my favorite in-laws. So. Yeah, it was really sweet. So,
yeah,
you know,
but we live and learn. And so up and down. How did you meet the man in prison?
I was roommates with a woman whose husband was in prison, and I had already gone to visit him with her on a couple of occasions, just, you know, to meet him and to support her. And so that wasn't, you know, didn't scare me. And then I went and I met him. Well, one of the times when I was with her, seeing her husband, I met this cute younger guy that was there. So we visited for a while until he got in trouble. I was like, okay. And then she came home one day and said, well, I met this really nice guy. He's a friend of my husband's. He's smart. He's, you know, visiting his mom. And I thought, well, that's a nice guy, you know, visiting with his mom. And smart would be a new boyfriend, kind of boyfriend for me. So, you know, we started writing. And then it took a couple months and I got approved to visit. And then it was like when he was local, I would go see him every week, and I lived maybe 30 minutes from the prison, but I set up an office 2 minutes from the prison. So there was visiting 4 days a week. So I would just, you know, and it was my business, so I could close the doors for the afternoon and go visit and then go back to work.
Yeah.
So, and then when he moved to Southern California, I would only go once a month, and I would take his mom and stuff like that. So that's how we met, and we courted for 5 years, and then we got married.
Oh, wow. And so he's still in prison?
He's still in prison. He has a life without parole sentence.
Oh, yikes. Okay, so I take it was a violent crime.
He was convicted of masterminding a murder that happened in 1982. Now, I don't believe he did that, and I don't have enough proof that would take him to court. You know, he's got lawyers that have been working on it for years, but... it's all circumstantial evidence, and I think he was somewhere else when it happened, but there were kids that worked for him and his business at the time who did do the murder and said he masterminded the whole thing. So you know.
Wow, what a rough break.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your book.
Okay.
Midlife Magic. I love it. It's a memoir. It's your first book, and you've written it after all these incredible experiences. Tell us about it.
Sure. It's funny. I'll tell you why I wrote it.
Okay.
Years ago, I used to, because husband number seven was in the military, and the majority of his job and his dad's job, they were military intelligence. So whether you believe in UFOs or not, part of their career was involved with dealing with UFOs, the real space stuff that, you know, the government doesn't like to talk about. So I would go on the UFO conference circuit and speak about some of the things he was able to tell me. And one day I was at a conference and this woman comes up to me. So when's your next story coming out? And I go, well, he'll be writing something pretty soon. No, I mean your story. And this was, I found out this lady is very intuitive and psychic. And she goes, no, your story. I go, mine? I don't even need to write. Oh, you've got a story. I was like, I think it took 10 years. And then I have a story to write. And I would take notes all throughout the years. And then the year before COVID shut us all down, I decided to start working on it. And I joined like a little writing group. And they were going, I don't know. So I go, well, let me start at the beginning. And, you know, I wrote about my childhood. Then there were six chapters for the first six husbands, you know, why we got together, what went wrong, blah, 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 the lessons that I learned. And then there's three chapters on husband number seven. It's like, how did we meet? What's it like being a prison wife? And the cool stuff he introduced me to, like UFOs and aliens. And I was already, well, we talked about paranormal stuff, and I have a gift with that. But I had tapped into it years before. I had just forgotten all about it. But I learned about fairies and magic and witchcraft and all these cool things that, like, now is totally part of my life.
Mm.
So there's a chapter. He gets three chapters because at the time I still liked him. And then the second half of the book is about these passions of mine, my own UFO sightings, my paranormal experiences, all my thoughts about fairies and how I treat, you know, what I know about them and how I include them in my life and how I've seen them and my magical practice and how I got into that and what I believe about that. And also it's like, you know, I ended basically what, you know, like, here's this new wonderful path that I'm on. And I have a real connection with animals and especially the deer that come and go on the property of the house that I left.
Yeah.
So this, and I remember the last part of the book is like, I don't really know where my life is going yet, but you know, I'm on a new path. I love it. And I'm doing what I need to do. And it's a short book, but you know, you could read it in a day or a weekend. It wasn't ever meant to be 300 pages, but you know, it's heartfelt. And I have a lot of people who have read it and they love it. And so,
well, you know. It's very interesting. You kind of dropped a bomb on us about the UFOs and aliens. Like, I've never had a conversation about that. So I'm assuming by what he shared with you and you being a part of some conference that it's a very real thing.
It is a very real thing. And it's a very real part of the military. And the government knows about it. The major church leaders know about it. And yeah, it is a super real thing. And I spoke at conferences from 2007 till... It'd be like, right, you know, a year or so before COVID hit, I was still speaking at least once a year publicly.
And what were you speaking about?
Well, I was back then, I was mostly speaking about the different missions he'd been on, what different alien species are like. And, you know, some of the missions were here on Earth, some were off in space, and all these kind of things. And there's a couple of major human, non-human treaty conferences that happened when he was younger that he was at, like as a kid and as a young adult. And so he's written really long reports about both of those. So I would, you know, I could do a talk or two about each of those. So lots of really cool stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Do you ever get like pushback from people when you talk about it?
Oh, sure. But it's like, you know, before I was speaking, I had my first booth at a conference. And I think I've only had maybe one or two people roll their eyes at me. It's like, okay, you're at a UFO conference.
Right, right.
So you would kind of assume they might believe in it. But And not to throw stereotypes out, but they look like Barbie and Ken, basically. They look very pinned up, or, you know, there's a word for it, I guess. It's like, but why aren't you, they weren't carrying books around like most of us.
Maybe they were, aliens in disguise.
Well, they might have been, because there have been, you know, or they're government agents who come in all, you know, it's like the first time I met a government agent, it's like they were wearing the black suit and the tie and the
Men in black.
It's like, could you be more obvious? But usually they're in very, you know, different forms of clothing and casual. They don't want to stand out, but we all can figure them out. But so, that, you know, I'm giving my spiel at my booth, and these two people are just kind of rolling their eyes. I go, well, okay, you could just say thank you and move on.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Most of the time, people were very interested because I was talking about it from a military perspective.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it was a little bit different than a lot of the other people who were talking about it. So
I have a million other questions, but like, I feel like that's a whole separate conversation.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a whole different one media one sheet that I do.
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine. Just, I am very open. I believe anything is possible. So I've never like shut down the idea that there were other beings, right? And I do believe in a lot of supernatural things, because I've seen ghosts when I was little, and just, there are some things that you just cannot explain. You
exactly.
know? And I am willing to be, and I'm a God-fearing woman. I was raised Christian. So I do believe that all these things can exist together. So,
and, you know, and what's wonderful, and I'm going to be speaking at the end of October at a conference in Northern California. And it's the conference is UFOs, witchy stuff, paranormal stuff. So but I'm going to be speaking about my stuff. And the theme that I'm developing, the more I get into, you know, looking into what do I believe and what do I want to share with people besides this relationship toxic stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody is connected, whether we're human or not.
Yeah.
And even that dinosaur looking alien, they're the most spiritual beings that I know of, almost. And I quote this quote that one of them said at a conference, and it brings me to tears almost every time, because they're so spiritual and they believe that the universe is infinite and we're all connected and there's so much abundance. And it just grabs my soul every time I read it. So,
why and that with us?
And even the aliens have fairies with them. And even the aliens, at least especially this one species I talk about a lot, they have sorceresses. So, you know, the magic, it's all earth science and it's all natural laws. And it's just all connected in a very beautiful way. So
interesting. So do you want to read that quote or tell us that quote?
I don't have it sitting next to me.
Oh, boo.
We're going there, but
you're not going
to want to have me on again.
Sure. So you were in the process of writing your second book, The Prince Was Wrong.
Yes.
What is that about?
That is all about husband number 7, whose nickname is the Prince.
Oh, wow.
And he, you know, he is an only child. He was a spoiled brat. He has definitely admitted, one of the last times I'm seriously spoiled. And I go, yeah. Oh, no, I am seriously selfish. That's his quote. I go, yeah.
I'm really proud of that. Yeah.
Seriously selfish. And once I left, I learned all about what the term narcissism really means. And he like fits it to a T. You know, everything is your agenda. Everything has to be your way or it's thy way. And these are things he would say to me as we were not getting along. And I left, you know, California 3 years ago, mostly to get out of his house. Not that he was living there, but the house is old and, you know, needs work. And I've been paying for it for years. And I wanted to be near my daughter during COVID, because who else was I going to be around? I work from home all by myself. And, you know, I was having somebody bring me groceries. So it's like I was not happy at the house. And I was beginning to realize that I'm really not getting my needs met.
Yeah.
This is because as long as I would visit him and we were on the same page about his projects, you know, what he needed me to do for him and stuff, everything, I didn't even dawn on me that there was anything wrong, which is placed. You know, whoever's listening to this, don't wait 20 years to try and figure. But do figure it out. It's like if there's something wrong, figure it out. But it just became so apparent. And, you know, then COVID hit, and I realized it's like, yeah, this isn't working. And again, I moved here to just be near somebody during COVID. And I had intended to move back, but I'd also said, hey, I'm getting older. I want to retire. We got to figure this out. We got to have a plan so that I'm not paying for everything and I don't drop dead doing bookkeeping at 90, you know. Well, he said he'd start coming up with a plan, but the plan never happened. It still hasn't happened. I'm still trying to work with the other trustee, trying to figure out how to save his house so that it, you know, we don't have to sell it because he doesn't want to sell it. And it's like, dude, you can't.
You're still doing
that money. You can't pay for it.
Yeah, you're still doing this stuff for him.
I'm only covertly. I am helping the other trustee because I know her. I like her. And she's finally, you know, we never stayed in touch with her until recently. And it's like, I need your help and I want to get off the trust and I need to stop doing things. So I pretty much, there's hardly anything I'm helping pay for, but I've helped like sell a couple things to try and cut down some of the debt. So I, you know, we got divorced. That divorce was final in May and that's great. And I saw him for the last time in person in April and we had some texts after that, but the book is about, you know, how I met him, how we got married, and why I didn't, the red flags, and why I didn't see the red flags. And I, like, the second chapter in, it's like my letter to dear asshole. And it's like telling him all the things I wanted to know that he really couldn't hear me say when I would try to say it in person. And it was like I would get stuff back like, well, a loving wife should do this, this, and this. You know, you should be grateful that I have you in my house. It's like, and you should be happy to, you know, you should be fine with paying a few of the bills. I'm going to pay all of the bills.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. He's a little deluded.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I would comment. It's like, why are you withholding affection? It's like, well, you should have tried to be prettier. It's like,
what? Oh, my God. Gross. Okay. There's definitely red flags. Any ladies that are listening, any guys talking to you like this, he's manipulating you. Red flag. Yeah. Run for the hills. Real sirens are going off.
Yeah.
No.
So the book is about, you know, the house issues, because that became a huge thing with us, a huge fight. And then there's a chapter on the actual relationship issues. And I've got quotes because these whole 3 years I've been away from California, it's like, you know, we've been basically trying to keep it together, but fighting, trying to keep it together, fighting,
yeah.
Until I just said enough. And I've got all these great quotes. It's like, I don't recall the actual conversations because we didn't fight that much in person, but I've got all these great quotes from his mean letters. And it's like, boy, I've got fodder for a book. So that's what's about it. And I'm almost done. I'm working on the chapter about the divorce itself, which won't take long because it didn't take long to get a divorce in Oregon. And then there will be a happy chapter on my great life after divorce.
Yes, I love it. That sounds perfect.
I know. It's on the happy note. And I celebrated the divorce by going on a cruise earlier this year. So
excellent. Good for you. So what is one out of all these relationships and all these different men that you've experienced and being divorced 7 times, what is one thing that you've learned about yourself moving forward and maybe getting into a new relationship?
I have learned, and I've got all these notes, but I have learned that I am lovable. I am enough.
Yes.
I am an amazing person, even though he rolls his eyes when I say that. It's like, I was with you 25 years and you still don't know I'm amazing. And I've learned to take care of myself, whether that's just going out for my daily walk or meditating or getting body work. You know, I love getting my monthly massage, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's about taking care of yourself and being able to stand in your truth and say your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm no longer afraid to speak up for myself and say what I need and tell people I'm a witch. It's like, hey, I don't care if you know, if you don't like it, too bad. I'm a good witch. I use it for good purposes. And, you know, my life's on a good trajectory. So.
I love it. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's never too late to change your life if you have to.
It's never too late. Don't be afraid. No. Where can people purchase your book, learn more about you, follow you, and support you?
Okay, well, the first book is on Amazon and all the things. I also have a website, dragonhillbooks.net, if they want a signed copy. And if you're going to be in Northern California at the end of October, I'll be speaking at the Mystical Minds Convention. You can Google it and find it. I'm also, I have, my email is Joanne with no E at midlifemagic.biz. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook under Joanne Fawcett. And the Midlife Magic was written under my last married name. So that's Joanne Richards.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. So those are my major social media things.
Excellent. You guys, I'll put some of those links in the show notes. So if you connected with Joanne and want to support her, purchase her book or follow her, go click the links, go buy the book, go follow her on social and reach out to her if you have any questions. I'm sure she'd love to have more of a conversation on UFOs. Joanne, this is the part of the show where I'd like to ask for last words of wisdom or advice. What would you like to leave with us today?
Again, it's a hard lesson for me that it was a hard lesson for me. It's like, really take care of yourself, because whether you're in a relationship or not, when you're taking care of yourself and creating your own best life, that's going to be reflected out, you know, and you're going to be attracting the people that you want in your life. So just take really good care of yourself and be mindful that, you know, you got to love you.
Yes.
And do you.
Amen to that. Joanne, thank you for sharing your story, your truth.
You're welcome.
And going through all that you've gone through to get to where you are today, to live your life loving yourself. It's so beautiful to see.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me.
You're welcome. You guys, this is your host, Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast. To live your best life, you must live label free. As always, don't forget to subscribe, follow, rate, review, comment, share, all those good things. And I'll be back soon with more dynamic guests.